On Midwest Week, the Iowa Legislature debates school funding, guns, and university tenure. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, Lee Enterprises Bureau Chief in Des Moines, and his work appears here in the Quad City Times and Muscatine Journal. Earlier this week, the Iowa House and Senate both passed a K-12 school funding bill, and Aaron, what does it include?
Well, the big pieces of that are they improved basically the general funding for schools, so the big number, the number that schools will use for their budget for the next school year. And that included a 2.1% increase over the previous years, so they get a little extra boost to try to account for inflation. And then the other two most significant pieces of that package were some money, I believe it was just short of $8 million for rural districts that have more transportation costs than other districts because, you know, their buses have to cover a larger geographic area, and that money comes out of schools, districts, general budget too. So some districts have to pay more in transportation, which leaves less money for classroom type spending. And so the state is giving a little extra money to try and help those districts. And then also a little boost for the whole state per pupil allowance to help some of the districts that aren't permitted under the formula to spend as much money per pupil as other districts. So they added some funds for that as well.
Okay, so they didn't make any changes to the formula. They just sort of added some money so the disparity isn't quite as bad?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they chipped away a little bit at that to, as you said, kind of narrow that gap a little bit. The formula itself, it remains unchanged. It's a remarkably complex formula, and there's been talks about trying to get at that, but nothing concrete as far as changing the actual formula.
Now, an increase overall in school funding sounds nice, but why are some Democrats still unhappy?
Yeah, so the Democrats' concern is that while they appreciate the 2.1% increase, it's coming off a couple of years of even lower increases. The past 2 years were 1.1 increase and a 1% increase. A few years back beyond that, there was no increase. It was a flat allocation. So some districts feel like they're still trying to catch up to lower numbers. And again, while 2.1%, they appreciated that a little more would have helped them maybe get back on top of things. What this ultimately boils down to is historically, you go further back for the longest time, the school funding increase almost every year was 4% or really close to that. And that was the standard for a long, long time. Since 2011, when Republicans regained at least at that point a measure of control at the Capitol, that number has been much lower. It's been around 1% or 2% most years. And that's where that debate and disagreement has heightened in recent years.
And what about university funding, Aaron? Has that come up yet?
Not yet. They do the K-12 most years, I should say. They do the K-12 budget as soon as they can in the session. The Regents funding usually doesn't get done until the end of the session when they work on the whole state budget. So there haven't been any numbers, really concrete numbers anyways, floated around for that yet. We'll still have to wait to see on that one.
But there is one proposal that's been at least talked about so far, and that was to abolish university tenure.
Yeah, and this came from Senator Brad Zahn from Urbandale, a Republican here in one of the Des Moines suburbs. And basically what that is Senator Zahn, he's a businessman, and he has said he kind of has a philosophical opposition to the idea of tenure, you know, extra protections for someone in a professor's position. And he's also described concerns about professors handing off courses to teachers' assistants and taking long sabbaticals. And so this is legislation he's run before. It gets attention because there are a lot of people who defend the tenure system. And what it ultimately boils down to, though, at the end of the day, I asked the Senate's Education Committee chairwoman, who's also a Republican, if that bill has any shelf life beyond senators on passing it out of the subcommittee. And she said she didn't bring it up in her committee last year, which it would need to in order to pass to the full Senate. She said, I didn't bring it up last year. You can take from that what you will, which basically said to me that this one's not going anywhere.
Now, they've also been talking about handguns so far, and what's being considered at this point at the Iowa legislature?
Yeah, there's been a couple of things on that front, and maybe the biggest one has been a proposal to eliminate the permit requirement to both purchase and carry a handgun. Some people call it constitutional carry or permitless carry, but essentially what it boils down to is eliminating the requirement that an individual get a permit in order to buy a gun and or to conceal carry a gun. So that has passed out of subcommittee, so that has been moving. It'll be interesting to see that, though, because the governor did, when she was asked about it, Governor Kim Reynolds said she was in the Senate when they passed the law that required sheriffs to approve the permit, with some exceptions. Before that, it was up to the sheriff's discretion whether they gave the permit. They passed a law that said the sheriffs have to grant that permit unless, like I said, with some exceptions. The governor said she kind of liked that process. She liked that law. She thought that was a good way to do it. So she didn't completely rule out supporting removing that permit process. But it was interesting to see, when asked about that bill, it was interesting to hear her reflect on that law and that she thinks it's a good law. So that may be a sign that she's more comfortable with the current law than that new proposal.
Okay, and now there's also been talk of a constitutional amendment as well, Aaron.
Yeah, and this is actually a rebooted effort. So, but what they're looking at is Iowa doesn't have in its state constitution a specific what we know as the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms. Iowa doesn't have that. Legislators here have written what would be a constitutional amendment similar to that, although critics of it say it goes even further, and that's their concern with it. In fact, Democrats proposed an amendment that would be basically word for word the U.S. Second Amendment, and that was rejected. Republicans like their language better, a little stronger. It uses a phrase called strict scrutiny, which would make it more difficult for future legislatures to pass any kind of gun regulations. So that constitutional amendment has been proposed. And a constitutional amendment has to pass two general assemblies. So even if it passed this year, they'd have to wait next year and then run it at the earliest again in 2021. And then if it passes then, it goes to a vote of the people before it goes into the Constitution. And I said it's a reboot. They actually passed it last year, but the Secretary of State's office made a clerical error that essentially nullified that, and they had to start the process all over this year.
And there have also been talk of another amendment, this one about abortion for Iowa?
Yeah, so this one it would state clearly, it would be a state constitutional amendment that would state clearly that the Iowa Constitution does not guarantee the right to an abortion. And what this is a direct response, reaction to the recent Supreme Court, Iowa Supreme Court rulings against some abortion laws, specifically the fetal heartbeat bill. The Iowa Supreme Court struck that down, and this constitutional amendment is a way to put into the state constitution that the state constitution does not guarantee a right to an abortion, with the idea that then in the future legislatures could try again with that law, and the Supreme Court would have to adhere to the constitution, including the new amendment that would make it easier for such a restrictive law. Again, same thing. Even if they pass it this year, which they might, this one does have support among the legislators, and Governor Reynolds hasn't spoken specifically on this amendment, but has said that she's very pro-life. She supported the fetal heartbeat bill. So if this does pass, again, it's the same thing. It would have to be brought back in up again in 2021 at the earliest, and then also after that go to vote of the people.